It's just comedy.
The Jell-O Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra.
Thank you, thank you. This is Groucho Marx. Well, here I am, stepping in over my head again.
I'm with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Folks, this is just as new to me as it is to you.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, what an original greeting.
Hello and welcome to another week of comedy, funny, ha-ha, on Dwayne Old Time Radio. One thing, please subscribe to my channel. If you enjoy what I'm doing, subscribing is 100% free. Also, one more thing, if you have a few seconds or 1 minute, please leave a review on your preferred podcast service, especially if you're on Apple, Spotify, or really just your preferred podcast service. Thank you, and hope you enjoy. This week on Comedy Funny Haha, we have Martin and Lewis. Two episodes from Mr. Martin and Lewis. The first one stars Marilyn Maxwell, the 10th episode, June 5th, 1949. And then we have the guest host, or the guest is Burl Ives, very talented actor and singer. The 11th episode, June 12th, 1949.
It's the Martin and Lewis Show. National Broadcasting Company brings you, transcribed from New York, the Martin and Lewis Show. Our guest tonight, Marilyn Maxwell, and featuring Flo McMichael, Dick Stabile and his orchestra, and starring Dean Martin.
Don't blame me for falling in love with you.
And Jerry Lewis.
Oh, darling. Don't blame me for falling in love with you. Your lips have the scent of May wine. Your hair the scent of orchids. So can I help it if you held me captive under your smell?
Tootsie, goodbye. Tootsie, don't cry. The choo-choo train that takes me away from you, no words can tell how sad it makes me. Kiss me to the end, then do it over again. Watch for the mail. Well, I'll never fail. If you don't get a letter, then you know I'm in jail. Just calling, toot-toot-tootsie, don't cry. Toot-toot-tootsie, goodbye. Watch for the mail. Well, I'll never fail. If you don't get a letter, then you know I'm in jail. Dear darling, toot, toot, tootsie, goodbye. Toot, toot, tootsie, don't cry.
Last night, Miss Marilyn Maxwell dropped into the Copacabana nightclub here in New York to watch Dean and Jerry's act. Although the boys didn't meet her, Jerry was swept off his feet by her charms and stunning beauty. This morning, though Dean doesn't realize it, the inevitable has happened. Jerry is in love.
Jerry, you've been acting strangely all morning. Is something wrong?
I can't help how I act, Dean. Something has happened to me. I'm not myself today.
Well, if you're not yourself, then who are you?
I don't know. I'm Sir Galahad riding a white horse over the fields to see Lady Guinevere. I am a Romeo climbing up the balcony to court Juliet. I am Mark Antony conquering all of Egypt to make love to Cleopatra. I am Errol Flynn. No, he doesn't have to work that hard. He just sits and waits.
Now, wait a minute, Jerry. This is starting to make sense. Has this got anything to do with love? So that's it. You're gone falling. Who is it this time?
Dean, she's the most glamorous, the most gorgeous, the most fascinating, the most beautiful girl in the whole world.
Oh, my gosh. Not another lady wrestler.
No, Dean, this is different.
Well, who is the girl?
Remember who we saw last night at the Copa?
Oh, don't tell me it's the new hat check girl.
No, more glamorous than that.
One of the girls in the chorus line?
No, more glamorous than that.
Well, those were the only glamorous girls I saw, except, of course, Marilyn Maxwell. Marilyn Maxwell. Oh, Jerry, she's a movie star. She's famous, and she's a big hit playing opposite Kirk Douglas in The Champion.
Well, shake hands with the challenger.
Face it, Jerry, you're just a kid. Marilyn Maxwell is talented, beautiful, and famous.
You can't discourage me. Don't you realize the power of love? When I saw Marilyn Maxwell walk into the Copacabana last night, something happened to me. I've been walking on clouds. I just have to see her again, Dean. Couldn't you tell me some of the things you do to impress a girl?
Well, if it were me, Jerry, here's what I'd do. First, I'd go out and buy her a really fine, impressive gift. Then I'd look in a book of poetry, find some appropriate verses, and send them to her. Then every day for a week, I'd have a standing order at a flower shop to send her one fresh, exquisite, dark, trembling rose.
Oh, Dean, I'm so unworthy of you.
But that's not your type, Jerry. You ought to give up the whole idea.
Give up? How can you say that? Jerry Lewis never gives up. I'm going to take Marilyn a nice, expensive present and lay it right at her feet. Come in. Who is it?
It's me.
Well, Florence.
Hi, Florence. How's the most beautiful secretary in the world?
What?
What? I just said you're beautiful.
Mr. Lewis, have you been chewing catnip again?
You know, in a way he has, Florence. Jerry thinks he's in love, and he's decided that everything and everybody in the whole world is beautiful.
Well, who's he in love with?
Marilyn Maxwell.
Oh, she's on the stage at the Capitol Theater. I saw that show. My boyfriend took me, and we sat in the balcony.
How do you like it, Florence?
The show or the balcony?
I mean the show. How did you like Marilyn Maxwell? Wasn't she gorgeous? Wasn't she glamorous? Wasn't she beautiful?
Well, I figure I'm just as good as she is. And besides, she's not here, and I am. That gives me an edge.
Yeah, but that's the wonderful thing about Marilyn. No edges, just curves. Listen, Florence, I want you to come along with me to Tiffany's and help me pick out a present a girl like Marilyn would be sure to like.
Oh, I'd love to.
Well, you two go on ahead. I'll see you later.
Tiffany's is in this block, Mr. Lewis.
Yeah, and you know, Florence, I just decided something. I'm going to really impress Marilyn. I'm going to ask her to be my leading lady in the next picture we make at Paramount.
Oh, that'd be swell if she'd do it. Well, here it is.
Yeah, say, this Tiffany's is really an expensive store, isn't it?
What makes you think that?
Look who the doorman is. Ali Khan. Let's go in. Oh, there's a salesman. Hey, boy, let's snap into it, buddy. What do you say? I can always go to Walgreens, you know.
How do you do? Welcome to Tiffany's. May I be of service?
Well, I want to buy a present to impress a beautiful actress whom I haven't even met yet.
Yeah, you see, this girl doesn't even know he's alive.
Well, frankly, he had me puzzled for a minute.
Have you got something nice in jewelry, say, a diamond?
Oh, certainly, sir. Here's a nice diamond. I'll put it on the counter so you can look at it. Of course, we also have some large ones.
No, I think this would be big enough. Say, what are those three holes drilled in the diamond for?
Well, you see, on Wednesday nights, Mr. Tiffany goes bowling.
Well, I'm sure that would be too expensive for me.
Perhaps I could suggest something if I knew what kind of a girl this present is for.
Oh, well, she's got beautiful blonde hair, lovely soft eyes.
Yes.
And she's got red, luscious lips and a wonderful figure.
Yes, yes, but what is it about her that attracts you?
Say, mister.
Yes?
Are you for real? Everything seems much too expensive. I haven't got too much money to spend.
Well, how about this nice pearl pin for $100?
Oh, no, that's too much.
Well, how about this sapphire ring for $75?
No, that's still a little high for the present I had in mind. Can't you suggest something cheaper?
Well, why don't you have her shoes half soled?
Mr. Lewis, maybe we shouldn't have come to Tiffany's in the first place.
Well, Tiffany's name on a box is always very impressive.
Yes, well, suppose you tell me how much you want to spend.
About $25.
Well, our policy is never to fail a customer. I'm sure we can work something out, but I don't know how just yet.
Well, while the man at Tiffany's is trying to help Jerry, Dean has just arrived at the Capitol Theater hoping to talk to Marilyn Maxwell.
I'm very busy. Who is it?
Hello, baby.
Oh!
Miss Maxwell.
Yes, I'm Miss Maxwell. Excuse me, but where did Mr. Gable go?
I don't know, baby.
Oh, it was you. Say, what's the big idea?
Never mind. You'd be surprised at the number of doors I get open this way.
Wait a minute. I recognize you. Aren't you Dean Martin?
Oh, that's right. You must have heard me over at the Copacabana.
Well, I was there the other night, and I saw you working, but I couldn't hear you sing.
Well, were the acoustics bad?
No. I was there with Perry Como, and he kept dropping his knife and fork on the plate.
Yeah, that Como's, he's unfair. When I go to listen to him sing, I always applaud very loudly, all through his numbers.
Well, what did you come to see me about, Dean?
Well, it's about my partner, Jerry Lewis. He's on his way over here right now.
He is? To see me?
Yes, Marilyn. You see, last night he saw you when you came to the Copacabana, and now he thinks he's in love with you.
Oh, really? Well, it's probably just puppy love. Hasn't he ever done this before?
Yeah, and that's what's gotten me worried. This is the first time it hasn't been with puppies.
Well, Jerry will get over it.
Well, I don't know. In his sleep last night, he kept yelling, "Marilyn, kiss me," and squeezing his pillow. And he's...
Well, that's not so serious.
You think not? This morning, he didn't eat any breakfast. He just sat there exhaling feathers. You know, you can see that he hasn't had much experience with girls.
I sure can.
That's just my point. You never could be interested in a fellow like Jerry, and I don't want to see him have his feelings hurt.
Well, I'd be glad to help, but what in the world can I do about
it? Well, I have an idea. Now, Jerry's so naive that I'm sure if you made violent love to him, it would scare him to death.
Are you sure?
Well, I'm positive. Now, look, I got to get out of here. He'll be here any second.
Well, go out this hallway door here, Dean.
I remember, when he gets here now, you just pretend you're madly in love with him.
Well, I will do if you think it'll help. Bye.
Bye.
Yes, come in.
Miss Maxwell, you don't know me, but...
Oh, that marvelous, beautiful, deep voice.
Yes. Miss Maxwell, you don't know me, but my name is Jerry Lewis.
Never mind the details. Kiss me.
Kiss you? I must be in the wrong room.
You're in exactly the right room. Come here.
Now, wait a minute. Wait, please.
Oh. Gee, that was wonderful.
Yeah. Marilyn, I don't know if I have nerve enough to tell you why I came down here.
Because you're in love with me.
Gee, I got more nerve than I thought. You know, I don't understand this at all, Marilyn. I came down here hardly daring to knock on your door, and I walk in and you kiss me.
Jerry, can you blame me? Why, you're everything a girl could want. You have deep, compelling eyes and a firm, strong chin and glossy, curly hair.
Who? Me?
Yes, Jerry, I think you're the most beautiful man I've ever seen.
Marilyn, have you been chewing any catnip lately?
Jerry, you've been holding on to that little package ever since you came in here. What is it?
Oh, I almost forgot. It's a present for you. Here.
Oh. Well, I can hardly wait to get it open. Oh, a lovely box from Tiffany's. But all I see in it is two sticks of Juicy Fruit gum.
Well, the box cost $24.98, and I only had 2 pennies left.
Oh, Jerry, I want to thank you. It's a lovely thought.
Yes, it's your engagement present.
Engagement?
Sure.
Oh, this isn't going the way it's supposed to at all. You're supposed to be scared.
Not me. And after we're married, we'll go back to Hollywood. We'll be the new romantic team in motion pictures.
But, Jerry...
I'll show you, Marilyn. I'll write you such a love story that you won't be able to turn it down.
Jerry, I knew you were a comedian and actor, but I didn't know you were a writer.
Sure, I'm a regular George Bernard McFadden. Tell you what, Marilyn, you come back to the Copacabana again tonight. By then, I'll have my love story written, and we can sit down and talk about it.
Well, all right, that's a deal. Until tonight, then.
Yes, until tonight, my lovely one. Farewell. But before I go, another kiss?
Okay, I suppose. Goodness, Jerry, how did you ever learn to kiss like that?
It's simple. Every morning I eat my oatmeal through a straw.
It's now 6 hours later. We're at the Copacabana nightclub where the first floor show is just concluding with Dean Martin about to sing his new song, Sault Ste. Marie.
I fell in love in Sault Ste. Marie. My every dream came true the moment you walked by. The stars above, I held you to me, and we kissed till the dawn touched the sky. We said adieu in Sault Ste. Marie. And though we had to part, I left my heart with you. So, my love, wait for me, and I'll come back to you in so, my love, wait for me, and I'll come back to you in Sault Ste. Marie.
What are you doing here at the Copa again tonight?
Oh, Dean, sit down at the table a minute. Jerry invited me, and I had to come. Look, you got me in an awful mess.
Well, why?
Well, I did what you told me, but it didn't scare him at all. Now he really thinks I'm crazy about him.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, Marilyn.
He even wants me to be his leading lady in his next picture. Gee, what'll I do,
Gosh,
Dean?
I don't know.
Well, I see you've already introduced yourselves, my partner and my gal. Hello, Marilyn, my beautiful dreamboat. Listen, you want to hear something funny?
What?
This'll kill you. This morning when I told Dean how I felt about you, he said it was just puppy love.
Well?
Lean over and say hello to a Great Dane.
Jerry, there's something important you want to know.
Marilyn. Wait a minute. Look, I got the story for our next picture. Gee, I hope you like it.
Jerry, you've written a story?
Sure. It's all about a lying gangster and his girl.
A lying gangster and his girl. Now, what's it called?
Fibber and Maul. Come on, let's do it for our nightclub audience right now. Hey, Mr. Stabile, how about a fanfare? Ladies and gentlemen, I have a surprise for you. Miss Marilyn Maxwell, the famous movie star, is here tonight. Miss Maxwell is probably going to star with Dean and me in our next Paramount picture. So right about now, we'd like to give you a preview of this screenplay, which I wrote myself.
The scene is the big house. A prisoner speaks.
My name is Rocky Lewis. 10 years ago, I was head of the mob. I had the big town in the palm of my hand. Gambling, liquor, nightclubs. I had all the rackets sewed up tight. I was pulling down a cool $45 a week.
I am Marilyn. I was Rocky's mall. I was out to get rich. Money, that's what I wanted. I met the right men for it, too. Thieves, gangsters, crooks, gamblers. The gamblers called me Cold Deck. I was bad, bad clear through. I smoked cigarettes. I had dates with Rocky and stayed out until 10 o'clock. I started playing pinball machines, and I learned how to tilt.
Yeah, Marilyn was a real no-goodnik. And I had a pal, Dino Martinez. Dirty, double-crossing, thieving. In other words, a right guy. The week after I took Dino into my mob, he stole my wallet and my diamond cufflinks. The next evening, he stabbed me in the back. The next evening, he took my shirt and my pants, and then he squealed to the coppers and had me sent to prison. I began to get a feeling he wasn't trustworthy. And so Dino took over the rackets while I did a 10-year stretch and stir. 10 long years in a tiny cell brooding, planning my revenge for when I got out. There was only one thing that I was going to do when I got out. One thing I had to do first. Find Dino. Get my pants back. Yeah, I had to find Dino.
My name is Dino Martinez. I was a Rocky's pal. I squealed on him and I sent him up at the river. But I had a good reason. The minute I saw his girlfriend, Cold Deck Marlene, I figured it was my turn to shuffle. But now I had all the rackets under my belt. No bootlegger move a case until I give the sign. The bank robbers are so afraid to touch a safe unless I say go ahead. Dr. Shule won't even send out a footpad without me saying okay.
Yeah, that's my pal and that's my gal. And here I am in this tiny cell in the big house with no one to talk to but my cellmate Nosy, who never says a word. Well, what's this? The warden is walking straight toward my cell. Hey, warden, what's that paper? Is that a pardon for me?
No, Rocky, it's a pardon for your cellmate, Nosy. Come on, Nosy, get up. You're leaving the big house, Nosy. And I don't want you going back with that gang of pickpockets. You've got a chance to go straight. Now get out of here, Nosy.
Well, warden, at least I'll have more room in here without that elephant.
We'll break you yet, Rocky. We got a new one for tomorrow.
That was what they planned for me, huh? Your third degree. I knew I had to escape that night. Suddenly a plan came to me, yeah. I was thin. I could do it. I chopped a hole in the water main, took a deep breath and dived in. 5 minutes later, I popped out of a hot water faucet in the warden's office. The warden did not approve of my ingenuity. And then another plan occurred to me. Quickly, I pretended to be unconscious and I was rushed to the prison hospital. As soon as the doctor turned his back, I swallowed 200 reducing tablets, mussed up my hair, and walked out of the prison disguised as a floor mop. At last, I was free. I had but one thing in mind. I had to find out if it was true about Dino taking over with my girl, Marilyn. Soon I was outside Dino's door. Listening, I heard...
I love you. I'm mad about you. I'm only happy when I'm with you. You're my favorite person.
I could tell he was alone. Quickly, I kicked open the door and stepped inside. I'm back, Dino.
Yeah, Rocky.
Yeah, back from where you sent me, Dino. You know where. They took me to the big house, and they took away my name. I became convict number 14237682429832411289763 72492832914. It was printed across my chest. But I'm tough now, Dino. Tougher than when I went away. When I want a little information about you and my girl, Marilyn.
You're not so tough, Rocky.
Now stop stalling, Dino. Where's my girl, Marilyn?
Marilyn, I'll kiss her goodbye the night they sent you away 10 years ago.
Open up, Dino, honey. It's me, Marilyn, your ever-loving baby doll. Let me in, honey. I'm in a hurry. Well, it's about time you...
Rocky, Dino, what's wrong?
Nothing's wrong. What makes you think?
Well, the way you two are standing there, glaring at each other.
We're only playing a new game. It's called Lilienthal and Hickenlooper.
Well, let's get one thing straight, Rocky. You can't expect a girl to wait 10 years. I'm Dino's girl now.
You'll never get Marilyn away from me, Rocky. I've treated her too good.
Yes, Rocky. Dino bought me a mink coat.
Come back with me and I'll buy you a sable coat.
And Dino bought me a lovely pearl necklace.
Come back with me and I'll buy you a diamond necklace.
And Dino even bought me a Hudson that you stepped down into.
That's nothing. I'll buy you a Hudson that you can sail boats up.
Well, it's no use. I'm sticking with Dino.
Okay, this is the payoff. I got a gun.
Okay, Rocky, I got a couple of guns here. See, you're jammed right into your chest now. I'm going to let you have it right now.
Missed me.
All right, I'll take care of this myself. I've got my gun. I'll get him for you, Dino. There!
She got me, Dino. I'm done for. This is it. The end. The big payoff. Everything is getting darker and darker. You're fading away. I'm going, Dino. But before I go...
Yes, yes.
Before I go, I just want to... I want to say one thing.
What's that?
Bye.
Bye. Ah, poor Rocky. He's gone.
Yep. Rocky's gone, all right. Well, I guess I better get along home.
But, Marilyn, you can't go now.
I can't. Why not?
Because, baby, it's cold outside.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go
but
away.
But, baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like
my
ice.
Mother will start to
beautiful
worry.
Beautiful
and Father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace roar.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
well,
hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink
put
more.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbor's mind free.
Baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this tree?
No cabs to be had. Out there,
I wish I knew
your
how
your eyes are like starlight
to
now.
Break the spell.
I'll take your hat, your hair looks swell.
I ought to say no,
mind
no,
if
sir.
I move in
at
closer.
Least I'm gonna say that I try.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out.
Oh,
baby,
but
it's cold
outside.
You heard my little masterpiece I wrote. When do we leave for Hollywood so you can be my leading lady?
Well, Jerry, I've been trying to tell you. I can't be your leading lady. I have contracts for the next 2 years. It's just impossible.
I see. But you will be my girl, won't you?
Well, that's another thing I've been trying to tell you. You see, I...
Oh, I'll explain, Marilyn. Jerry, when you told me how you felt about Marilyn this morning, I couldn't let you go over to see her and get your feelings hurt. So I went over first and told Marilyn about this puppy love you were going through and... She agreed to pretend she was in love with you so that you'd be scared back to your senses.
Is this true, Marilyn?
Yes, Jerry. I'm sorry.
Gee, all the time I thought I was making love, I was only making a boo-boo.
Ah, well, don't feel bad, Jerry. Someday the right girl will come along.
No, I'm afraid not, Marilyn. I'll give you up. But if I can't have you, I don't want anyone. No girls, and that's final.
I get it. Hello. Oh, just a minute. Sure. It's for you, Jerry. A girl.
A girl? Give me the phone. Hello? I don't care what your name is. Will you marry me?
Oh, Jerry, thank you, Miss Marilyn Maxwell, for being a wonderful guest.
Thank you, folks. Good night.
The Martin and Lewis Show, transcribed in New York, is produced and directed by Robert L. Redd and written by Dick McKnight and Ray Allen. Next week, our guest will be Tony Martin. This is Ed Early. He's suggesting you tune in to your NBC station a week from this next Tuesday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time for the Martin and Lewis Show.
Hear the NBC Symphony at a new time tonight on NBC.
Let's laugh, laugh!
It's the Martin and Lewis Show.
Wow!
The National Broadcasting Company brings you transcribed from New York, the Martin and Lewis Show. Our guest today, Burl Ives, and featuring Flo McMichael, Dick Stabile, and his orchestra, and starring Dean Martin.
Everybody loves somebody sometime. Everybody falls in love somehow.
And Jerry Lewis.
Everybody loves somebody sometime.
I do it the hard way without music.
If you think candy's sweet, there's a girl you ought to meet. Sugar drips from her lips when she sighs. But the love light that lies within my baby's eyes. How it lies, how it lies, how it lies. She has style, she has charms, and a pair of loving arms that I'm dying to try on for size. But the love light that lies within my baby's eyes, how it lies, how it lies, how it lies. Oh, her name tops the list of every florist. Her bows are standing 10 deep in line, with all of the trees in the forest. Why should I be the only clinging vine? Oh, there's heartbreak in store with the one that you adore. Is a devil in the angel's disguise. But the love light that lies is the love light that dies. How it lies, how it lies, how it lies.
Well, Jerry and Dean are all excited because today they're going to record a new song for Capitol Records. We find them home in their apartment talking it over while they eat breakfast.
Gee, Dean, I'm all excited about making another record for Capitol, aren't you?
Sure, Jerry.
Remember the fun we had making our first one? The money song and that certain party?
Yeah, those were good songs, too. I wonder what song they've picked out for us to record this time.
Well, don't worry about it now, Dean. Eat your breakfast.
Say, Jerry.
Yeah, Dean.
I want to compliment you on your cooking. This is the best coffee you ever made.
You really like that coffee?
I sure do.
That's funny. It's molasses for the pancakes.
Hey, speaking of pancakes, where are they?
I was going to tell you about the pancakes, Dean. I wanted them to raise up nice and fluffy, so I added some yeast.
Oh, yeast? Well, how much did you add?
Well, the cakes are very small. I only threw in 2 dozen.
2 dozen yeast? And what happened?
You may not believe this, Dean, but our kitchen is now 27 feet high.
Oh, there you go again. You're exaggerating it. Now, stop kidding around. I'm going to look through this mail.
You're really proud of me, huh, Dean?
I already complimented you, Jerry.
I know, but gee, it's the first breakfast I ever cooked. Honest, Dean, what did you actually think of it?
Well, Jerry, a true friend would answer that in one or two ways. If he likes it, he'd say so, and if he didn't like it, he'd change the subject.
Well?
So how's the family?
Look here, Dean Martin, I'm sick of your insinuations. That's all I get around here. And to think that I've given you the best years of my life.
Oh, Jerry.
It's you! I spent the best years of my life bending over a hot stove. Every day a hot stove, hot stove, hot stove. And Dean,
what?
Would you buy me an asbestos apron? I'm ruining my hickok belt buckle.
Well, we'll see about that.
Have some toast, Dean? I just took it out of the toaster.
Jerry, look at all the burnt black edges on the toast. Scrape it off first.
Okay, I'll scrape it. Well, now for the other side.
Well, we better hurry, Jerry. We record at 11 o'clock, and we still have to find out what song we're going to sing.
I'm almost ready, Dean. I hope we can sing a good fast tune. Everybody likes a good fast tune.
Well, according to our contract, we have to sing whatever they pick out, and I sure hope they remember that my voice is classified as a baritone.
I wonder what I'm classified as.
Well, offhand, I'd say you were a necessary evil.
Necessary evil? How can you say that when all week I've been practicing pear-shaped tones?
And just how have you been getting pear-shaped tones?
Every morning I stick the Dick Tracy comic strip in my mouth and swallow it. Every morning I stick the comic strip in my mouth and swallow. I wish I was dead.
Jerry, we got to see Mr. Allen at 11 o'clock to talk about our next recording. We better hurry and, get away. Come in. Who is it?
It's me.
Hiya, Florence. Come in. Shall I make you some toast?
No, thank you. My doctor told me not to eat any more carbon.
Well, you look kind of upset, Florence. Anything wrong?
Well, I'm not complaining or anything, but I've been working for you for 6 weeks now, and I think it's about time you paid me my salary.
But, Florence, we've given you a check each week. You've been paid in full right up to date.
Check?
That's right, Florence. You've been paid. It's just that instead of money, we gave you a check.
That's what I say. I want my money.
Florence, can't you understand? You take the check to the bank, and the men will cash it for you after you write your name across the back of it.
Well, why should I write my name across the back of it? My name's already on the front. Florence McMichael, $35.
It's a bank rule, Florence. It's a state law.
Oh, you're just saying that. I bet anything the man wants me to write my name on it so he can ask me for a date.
Florence, the man isn't asking you for a date, and even if he was, he knows who you are from the front of the check. You know, Florence McMichael, $35.
That's it. He's after my money.
All right, Florence, have it your way. Don't sign your name on the check.
Oh, I wouldn't want to do anything illegal. I'd be in a fine fix if a man called the cops and they threw me into the hose gal.
Hose gal? Florence, it isn't hose gal, it's hofbrau.
You know, Florence, it's not right for you to be running around loose.
Dean's right, Florence. Have you ever thought of getting married?
Married?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think a girl ought to rush into these things. What church shall I meet you at?
Yeah, I can see it all now. Florence is married. A little ivy-covered cottage with a patter of tiny feet upstairs.
Tiny feet? You mean...
Sure. And if you've been reading the papers lately, it might even be quadruplets.
Just what I've always wanted. 5 kids.
Florence, you can stay here and file our papers in the mail. Jerry and I have to go see about the recording today.
Oh, you're going to make a record?
Well, yes, we are. We've been trying to think of songs to do. Have you heard that new one that goes, "When you caught me near the chicken coop, Nelly, I knew you'd egg me on"?
No.
There's another one I like. It's called, "Don't Go Near the Hayloft, Mother. Pop's in there pitching with the maid."
Music I like is folk music. I heard one last night on the radio.
A folk tune? But what was it?
Well, it was called "It Was Apple Fritter Time, South of Alabama, and After Working on the Railroad, I Courted Sarah Lou, My Lady Fair, Atop Old Smoky While Eating Jimmy Crack Corn and Drinking Out of the Little Brown Jug, as the whispering green grass and the cool waters told my own true love would never fail me until I die."
Well, you know, that's a terrible song title. Who sang it?
Dick Haynes.
Well, for his kind of voice, it's not too bad.
Say, Dean, are you really jealous of Dick Haynes?
Well, of course not. What makes you say that?
Well, you're always mailing him laryngitis germs.
Jerry, that's silly. It's absolutely impossible to send laryngitis through the mails. I inquired.
Of course, my real favorite is a song I heard on the radio the other night. I heard Burl Ives sing it. It's called Two Black Eyes and a Broken Nose. That's the Curse of a Peeping Tom.
Sounds like a beat-up song to me.
Oh, quiet you two. Come on, Jerry. We better go down to the recording studio. See you later, Florence.
What song do you think we should sing when we make our next record?
Oh, I don't know. We ought to try to get something different.
That's what I say, something different. Something that shows my voice off, too.
Well, I don't like to say anything, Jerry, but it's my voice that should predominate on our records.
Oh.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Nothing at all. If I'm in your way, I'll step aside.
Oh, Jerry.
Ah, that's all right. I know when I'm not wanted. Go ahead. Go your own way. Turn me out into the cold. Homeless, friendless, no money, no place to go. Nobody wants me. Two forlorn figures tramping the streets.
Two forlorn figures?
Yeah. Me and Mayor Haig. Don't worry, Dean. I won't stand in your way. What do you care if I'm hungry? A dried up bag of bones, walking aimlessly around in the rain, soaked through to the skin. Cold and wet and clammy and shivering and cold. And Dean.
What?
You got a hot water bottle?
Oh, Jerry, now straighten up. We're almost there. And remember, when we go in, let me do the talking.
Okay, you do the talking.
I wouldn't insist on it, but you're so soft.
I can't help it, Dean. I've always been soft. Why, when I was a baby, the talcum powder used to bruise me.
Well, here we are. Let's go in.
Hey, Dean, look at the glass partitions.
Yeah, and those fellas inside them are disc jockeys playing recordings.
Disc jockeys? Let's open this door and listen.
And here's another Bing Crosby record, White Christmas. And here's When the Blue of the Night Meets the Gold of the Day. And here's Tora Lura Lura.
Well, who was that?
Sinatra breaking Crosby records. Here's where we go in, Dean.
Hi, Mr. Allen.
Oh, hello, boys. Boys, glad to see you. Sit down. By the way, before I forget it, some woman's been hanging around the halls all morning. She wants to see you.
Wants to see me?
Yes, she's starting a new fan club or something.
Well, every little bit helps. Now, have you got a song picked out for us, Mr. Allen?
Well, I've been giving it a lot of thought. Now, you boys were pretty good on the money song, and you were even better on That Certain Party. But this time, we got to do something new, something different.
Something different? Well, what's the matter with the way we sing now?
Nothing, but you got to progress. You got to give them something different all the time, something new.
Oh, you mean something like classical?
Classical? I don't know.
What do we know about classical music, Dean? The other night we were listening to Toscanini and we could hardly understand it.
Well, of course we couldn't. You were making so much noise eating dinner, I couldn't tell if it was Toscanini or veal scallopini.
Well, now, maybe classical isn't what we want either.
Well, you know, I'm Italian. Maybe I could sing something operatic, you know. Ridi pagliacci. You know, something like that. How was that?
It's okay, but Ezio Pinza has been doing that for years, and what did it get him?
What'd you say?
I say, Ezio Pinza has been doing that for years, and what did it get him?
Mary Martin, and that's good enough for me.
Boys, opera's out. After all, we want something popular.
I know something different. Do a foreign song like Jean Sablon does. You know, he sings, May I kiss your hand, madame, your dainty fingertips, je l'ai passé de tulle de patte de colle, je l'ai pété de patte de passe. That's French.
No, boys, you haven't hit it yet. Say, I just happened to think. You know who's one of our biggest record sellers? Burl Ives.
Yeah, but he sings the folk songs.
Well, what's wrong with that? Maybe that's the different thing I'm after for you guys.
But we don't know anything about that kind of singing.
Well, you can sure find out. Burl Ives is recording today. Go down the hall, listen to him, and come back and tell me what you think.
Okay, you're the boss. See you later.
You know, he may be right, Jerry. Maybe we should sing folk tunes. You know, after all, Florence likes them, too.
Gee, Dean, I like the way you sing now.
Yeah, but maybe it's time I changed my style.
Change your style? Oh, Dean, when I think of those voice lessons you had, those weeks of training, and all those months of listening to Perry Como records.
You know, the more I think about it, the more I think Mr. Allen is right.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Martin. You know, I knew you'd be here today, and I waited all morning to say hello.
Oh, shut up.
Well, hello.
Oh, that voice, that voice. Oh, when you speak, each syllable comes out wearing a sweater.
Say, lady, if you don't mind, we're...
Oh, I suppose I should introduce myself. I'm Laura Taproot. I'm president of the new Dean Martin fan club.
But Mrs. Taproot, Dean already has three or four fan clubs now.
Yes, I know, but our club is novel. We only take older members from 50 years up.
You mean all the girls in this fan club are 50 years old?
Yes. We used to adore H.V. Kaltenborn, but we switched over to Dean Martin. We got tired of having things explained. From now on, we're going to try to figure them out for ourselves.
Yeah, but when did all this happen?
You should be quite thrilled. You won out over so many, many others. You see, Vic Damone gets the girls from 16 to 20. Sinatra gets them from 20 to 30. Crosby gets them from 30 to 50. Yes. Well, there we were, ready and willing. With no one to swoon over. Oh, please, Mr. Martin, you don't think we girls of that age are being silly, do you?
No. You certainly have a right to have your fling.
Yes, club. Let's have our fling before we're all flung out.
Say, lady.
Yes?
Are you for real?
You know, we listen faithfully to your program, Mr. Martin, and when you sing to us, well, the first night, Mrs. Crabtree dropped 3 stitches. And when you sang your second song, the knitting stayed where it was, and Mrs. Crabtree dropped.
Well, all I can say is that I'm very flattered. I don't know quite what to say. This fan club of yours sounds like it's a very nice group of women.
Oh, yes. We're mostly widows. Some of us are graying a little. But I always say the young men of today are making a big mistake and not considering older women in their plans.
But really, I don't think many men would agree with you there, Mrs. Taprat Roots. Nobody would prefer Marjorie Maine if they could get Ava Gardner.
I would, but I'm only 23 years old. What do I know?
Say, young man, are you really only 23 years old?
That's right.
Would you mind if I chucked you under the chin?
Go ahead.
Oh, my. I've been on the main course so long, I'd forgotten what an hors d'oeuvre looked like. Well, I'm afraid I've taken up too much of your time, but before I go, I wonder if I could ask a favor.
Well, go right ahead, ma'am.
Well, we girls have a favorite song, and we were wondering if you'd sing it for us. It's an old one called Come Where My Love Lies.
Dreaming?
Of course we are! Who cares?
I'll be glad to sing a song you want, Mrs. Taproot.
Thank you and goodbye, young man. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. I'm all agog with excitement. Tomorrow, I throw away my Dr. Scholl's foot pads and start flying.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Dean, are you really going to sing that song she asked for?
Sure, Jerry, but first we got to go down to the hall and listen to Burl Ives. Somehow, I just can't see myself singing a folk tune.
Me either. But Mr. Allen is a smart man. Maybe he knows what he's talking about, you know. Can't hurt us to listen to Burl Ives.
When is 3-4? When is dollars in United States savings bonds? Yes, sir. Every $3 in savings bonds are worth 4 when they mature. Every $300 brings you $400. Yes, and every $3,000 in savings bonds return you $4,000 in 10 short years. That's the kind of wonderful interest you get from your Uncle Sam when you save your money in savings bonds. Worthwhile, huh? And you can even save in savings bonds through an easy automatic plan, the payroll savings plan where you work. It's a plan for setting something aside in savings bonds out of your pay envelope each and every payday. Your company cashier will tell you all about it. Okay. If you're not on a payroll, you're your own boss. There's an equally convenient bond-a-month plan where you bank. Remember how your money grows and grows in savings bonds. Also, think of the opportunities money can help you take advantage of in the future, like buy your own business or home or the children a college education. So, save all the savings bonds you can now while you're earning.
Well, this is the recording studio, Jerry.
Hey, mister, we want to talk to Burl Ives.
Oh, quiet. Mr. Ives is about to record.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Shh, Jerry. Let's listen.
Great-grandfather met great-grandmother when she was a shy young miss. And great-grandfather won great-grandmother with words more or less like this. Lavender blue, dilly-dilly, lavender green. If I were king, dilly-dilly, I'd need a queen. Who told me so, dilly-dilly? Who told me so? I told myself, dilly-dilly, I told me so. If your dilly-dilly heart feels a dilly-dilly way, and if you answer yes, in a pretty little church on a dilly-dilly day, you'll be wed in a dilly-dilly dress of lavender blue, dilly-dilly, lavender green. Then I'll be king, dilly-dilly, and you'll be my queen.
Well, that was wonderful, Mr. Ives.
Why, thank you. I don't think we've met.
Well, my name is Dean Martin.
Well, well, how do you do?
And this is my partner.
Well, well, howdy doody.
Hey, Mr. Ives, I'm Jerry Lewis, and I don't look like Howdy Doody. Howdy Doody's a television puppet with a silly wooden head and no expression on its face and clumsy hands and feet and... Dean.
What?
Pull up my strings. I'm ad-libbing too much.
Jerry's my partner, Mr. Ives. He's a great kid and a great comedian. Mr. Ives, Jerry and I wanted to ask your advice about something.
Yeah, Mr. Ives, we admire you. Last year, I read your book, Wayfaring Stranger, cover to cover, and I loved it.
Oh, thank you, Jerry.
Oh, that's nothing. Next year, I'm going to read the pages between.
When we came in the studio just now, Mr. Ives, you were singing Lavender Blue, but I thought you always sang Western songs. I like his Western tunes, don't you, Jerry?
Well, I admire it powerful much, partner. And I'm an authority on Western music.
You're an authority on Western music?
Sure. Because I've lived in the West and I loves it. Partner, I want to tell all the folks that when I puts my Stetson and slides my Levi's into the riding leather on a bucking bronco to round up a herd of dogies, well, they're sure going to be rustlers on the stage tonight down by the old corral.
Look how they're staring at me.
Has Jerry ever been in the West at all, Dean?
Well, about a year ago, we played a date at the Flamingo Hotel in Las Vegas.
Flamingo Hotel? That sounds like a dude ranch to me.
Dude ranch? Why, partner, it's really a dude ranch. All the horses have Tony Cold waves.
Ah, oh, come on, Jerry.
Dude Ranch? Why, I didn't call my horse Old Paint. I called him Old Lipstick.
Old Lipstick?
That's right. You heard of the flying red horse?
Yeah.
Well, Old Lipstick didn't fly. He just skipped along.
Jerry.
You asked me if it was a dude ranch, eh, partner? Why, when I'd ride Old Lipstick real hard, he didn't perspire. He broke out in taboo.
Jerry.
Jerry, what's all this got to do with your being an authority on Western music?
Well, I am, and I really appreciate the way you can play that guitar, Mr. Ives. I appreciate it especially because me, I play the guitar like crazy.
The professional?
Nah.
How come?
Who wants to hire a crazy guitar player?
Aw, oh, come on, stop it, Jerry. We came in here to ask Mr. Ives about singing folk songs.
I know we did, Dean, but first I want him to hear something new. This music is so new, it doesn't have a name yet. Ooly-oo-coo-bop, lay-ba-loo-bee-beep, ooly-oo-boo, ooly-abba-dabba-dabba-doo-boo-boo, ooh-coo-op, lee-ba-lee-ba-loo-boo, ah-la-bee-abba-dee,
loo-boo. Jerry!
Well, what do you think, Mr. Ives?
Jerry, tell me one thing. Are you for real?
You know something? I'm not for sure. I was singing. I was singing bop.
Bop? I thought you swallowed an Alka-Seltzer sideways.
Jerry, if you'll keep quiet for just 2 minutes, I'll tell Mr. Ives why we came in to see him. You see, Capitol Records wants us to record another number, and we were wondering if we might try a folk tune for our next recording.
A folk tune, eh? Mm-hmm. Well, I've never heard you sing, Dean, but I'm told that you've got a very fine baritone voice and that you sing a nice ballad.
Oh, he does. Go ahead. Yeah? Dean, sing a few notes for Mr. Ives.
Well, okay. Here's the number I'm singing on the show this week.
I don't see me in your eyes anymore. Oh, why can't I make them shine as before? I don't see you or your heart in your kiss when you should sigh that your mind resists. There was a time life was fine, love was ecstasy, but now I doubt what the outcome will be. I pray you'll say I'm the one you adore, then I'll see me in your eyes as before.
That was beautiful, Dean. I mean, that was beautiful, Dean. Wasn't it, Mr. Ives?
Oh, yes, it sounded very good, Dean.
Well, thanks. But do you think I can sing folk songs?
That's a hard question. It's all a question, you know, of your background. If you were brought up in the country like I was, well, you'd sing folk songs as easy as falling out of bed.
Yeah, but I've been singing popular songs all my life.
Well, that's the best racket, Dean. Sing popular songs. That gets the girls. There's no point in singing folk songs like me.
Why? What do you get with folk songs?
Folks?
I don't see anything wrong with folks. I've got a wonderful set.
Well, you boys don't realize how lucky you are. You got started in show business fast with an agent and in good places instead of the backwoods like I did.
You started in the backwoods?
I was so far back that for the first 2 years, my agent was Daniel Boone. You see, you can't really know about a folk song like the Foggy Foggy Dew unless you're born in the country.
I was born in Newark, and they understand about Foggy Foggy Dew. Only there they call it Jersey Lightning.
Just what I said. See, you don't understand folk music. Now, how can you sing a song like, well, Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care if you don't know what it means?
Oh, I know. Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care. That's about a comedian named Jimmy cracking corny jokes and I don't care if he is laying in there.
Gee, Burley, it must have been pretty rugged for you growing up in the back country that away.
No, I had fun when I was a kid. I spent my whole boyhood working, gathering eggs. We always had plenty of milk and real vegetables, fresh fruit everywhere.
Gee, what a funny place to grow up, in a delicatessen.
Well, I don't think I'd have minded being born in the country, Burl.
Me neither.
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam and the deer and the cantaloupe play.
The deer and the cantaloupe play?
Yeah, he's back in the delicatessen again. You know something, Jerry? Burl Ives has got nothing to worry about. Say, Burl,
Yes, Dale.
We want to thank you for being with us today, and we enjoyed hearing you sing your sensational tune, Lavender Blue.
Well, thank you very much. It's a great pleasure,
We enjoyed the wonderful...
It's okay, fella.
Well, it's all right.
Well, we enjoyed the wonderful work.
Thank you very much. It's all right.
Yeah, we enjoyed... Thank you, sir. Thank you.
The Martin and Lewis Show, transcribed in New York, is produced by Robert L. Redd and written by Dick McKnight, Ray Allen, Roger Price, and Sid Resnick. This is Bob Warren suggesting you tune in to your NBC station next Sunday evening at the same hour for The Martin and Lewis Show. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
Thank you for listening to and showing your support for my podcast. If you would like to receive notifications of when new episodes are posted, please subscribe to my channel. Well, hope you enjoyed, and until next time, stay safe, wish you well, and as always, peace.